All right, have you ever had a job where you started working for a boss and you're like, oh, this person's pretty cool, and end up being like one of the worst people ever in your entire life? Okay, a bunch of hands. How many of you ever been that person for someone else? No hands, okay. I hope, yeah. Here's honest Rick and Josh, like, I hope I haven't been that person for other people, right? And man, I remember when I got out of a seminary and I was getting my first church job, and I was like, man, God, you're gonna bless me. You're gonna put me with a great church leader in a really healthy church. So we move our whole family, which is actually just Meredith and I then. So we move up to Humboldt, which is like one of my favorite places on earth. Got a job at this church, and it was going pretty good at first. And then there started being like little rumblings of the, you know, the lead pastor I was working for, of different things I was hearing about, different things that would kind of happen to me, like kind of like little like slices at me and stuff. And the deeper I got in, I thought, this person wants to like destroy my life. And so I was like, man, I thought God was going to hook me up with like this really cool person to work for and be mentored by. And he totally ended up being a Saul. And I remember I worked for like a year and a half, and I'm like pretty resilient person, but man, by the end, like my mind cracked. And I got home one day and I said, Meredith, like, I can't work for this person anymore. It was so toxic. And then in that process, I learned that before me, within the past like 5 or 6 years, 5 other people had quit before me. And then after me, 2 months later, someone else quit after me. And man, I was like, I was hit for a daze. And so sometimes we have those Saul leaders in our lives, the people that will come into our life that are just gonna try and trash us and wreck our lives. And then hopefully like we aren't that for other people, because we could, you know, choose who God wants us to be. Because we read that story, I think probably a couple times for different people, we won't read through it like verse by verse, but we'll talk through it together. So for the verses 1 through 5, what had just happened is David went up to this dude who was like over 9 feet tall. He hit him in the head with a rock, busted his brain, fell over, and then he took a giant sword and he cut off his head. So isn't that a day for work, right? You go and you just chop off someone's head. So what happens is then David goes back to the king, they're chopping it up, and that's going on. And then this other guy walks up, his name's Jonathan, he's the king's son. And when Jonathan and David meet, they become best friends. And whenever you just met someone before and they became like one of your best friends? A couple people, yeah, okay, yeah. That happened too, like you just meet someone and you click. And then you're just like, you're friends, right? So that's what happens with Jonathan and David, instant friends. And you know what Saul sees in David? He says, this guy is an asset for what I want to do as a king. Because David was a warrior, right? He just took out Goliath. He looked good. He knew what he was doing. He's very skilled in everything. So he said, I'm going to pull this guy in and I'm going to make myself look good. I'm going to make myself better. I'm going to give myself a better army. So David is successful in everything. How many of y'all are that person? Everything you put your hands to, like Chloe, like you just put your hands to it and you are successful. Anyone? Y'all are very skilled and talented people. I know a lot of what you do for your work and everything. Like you're really good. Or ever seen those people? They just show up and they're the best at everything. And you're like, man, I wish I was kind of like that person. Anyone? Okay. Yeah, I've been on both sides, especially in dodgeball. I like to take the winning on that, or pickleball. So did you notice that as David was becoming more successful, it didn't go exactly how we might think? So God's success doesn't always lead to God's promotion how we might think. Because as David was becoming more successful, what ended up happening with Saul? He started becoming jealous of David. And so that's when we see this start to play out. So imagine they're coming back from this big war, this big victory, and they got the cheerleaders on the side, and the king's expecting like, oh, the cheerleaders are gonna be cheering for me. But guess who they're cheering for? Somebody else, David. This little young punk who just showed up on the scene and took down this giant, and now they're all cheering for David. Did you notice what came out of Saul's heart? What was in there? Jealousy came out of his heart. So jealousy was exposed in Saul's heart, but the pride didn't get in David's head. So can you imagine if you're, this maybe more applies to dudes because of this context, but if you like, you show up somewhere and all these ladies start cheering for you and you're like, wah! And you're like, oh, it's all about me. That's what Saul was looking for. But David said, I'm not gonna mess with that stuff because I know what goes on in the hearts of people. So David resisted pride. And so we see a snare of Saul's revealed, his anger and his jealousy. Now, how many of y'all have ever had like really strong negative emotions, like in the past week? I'll raise my hand too, right? So we have these emotions inside of us. So God has made us as emotional beings. Like that's who we are. We have a mind, we can think, we have a heart, we have emotions, we have a will, we can make choices. And so as you read through the Bible, the Old and New Testament, you're gonna see God has a variety of emotions. And because you're made in God's image, you're gonna be like God in the way that you'll also have emotions. So emotions can be healthy, and emotions can be like nitroglycerin, right? If you hit that thing, you throw it, it's gonna explode. And so we'll have these emotions inside of us, and we have to choose what we're gonna do with those emotions. And we can see what ended up happening with Saul's emotions. He had this anger and this jealousy, and it turned to what? To wanting to basically start to try and kill David. And so if we don't handle these emotions well, it can cause some pretty significant damage in our lives. So here's what really happened. Like, the situation with Saul didn't cause him to be jealous. It actually revealed what was already in his heart. So when you have situations that come in your life, it's gonna reveal what's already inside of you. So in Saul, he had a corrupted heart with jealousy. And so these situations reveal your character and what's in your heart, and what you do next really matters. So what did Saul do next? He made a choice in his heart and his mind that I'm gonna keep a jealous eye on this guy, because where? He's going for what? The kingdom. He's gonna try and already be king, right? And so when you get these emotions in your heart that are really strong, what are some like really strong negative emotions that you've had, or someone close to you in your life you know has had? If you wanna name yourself. What are some really strong negative emotions? Resentment. That's deep, right? What are some other ones? What is it? Hatred, yes. Others?
Fear.
Fear, yep, huge driver. Was it? Anger, yep.
Power hungry, desiring control.
Power hungry, control, yep, huge. Any others? Anxiety. So all these emotions you all just name, I'll be honest, like I've had all these emotions before, and most of us have here too. It's what we do with those emotions determines our life. So what we do next matters with those emotions. So let's be honest with ourselves. Like, how do you, it needs to be rhetorical, like how do you process a difficult emotion? So when you have a difficult emotion come your way, like how do you process it? In most default situations, people will revert back to what they learned in their family of origin. Like however your parents or your family system handled that is most likely your default of how you're gonna react. But if you do the hard work of recognizing like, okay, this is what my parents did or my family origin did or what I've learned from others, you can then make different choices of what you wanna do. So let's be honest with this too. Because scripture is honest, it's real. Like, it just, God doesn't try and like sugarcoat anything, he just says it how it is, right? So when you have a negative emotion, that's like whatever your kind of negative emotion is, and I'll be honest too, my own story, anger was probably one of the biggest strongholds I had in my life. I was angry all the time, and I was angry a lot too, even in the first part of our marriage, because I hadn't gotten free yet from a stronghold of anger. I don't really get angry very often now, but I used to just flip quick and get super angry. And so if you think about yourself, honestly, like when you have these really strong emotions that come up, like how do you handle them? Whether you're with your parents, whether you're with your kids, whether you're with your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, your fiance or your supervisor at work or a client that you're working with, like when you get pretty mad at them or whatever that emotion is, how do you honestly handle those emotions? And so Saul goes right at David. He's going for the kingship. He puts a jealous eye on him. And so did you notice that Saul went to an extreme? Like they were singing songs about him. David's gonna go for the kingship. Now what these toxic emotions, they wanna do is they wanna make you swing the pendulum to the other side. So they're gonna make you go, and then you're gonna have crazy thoughts, right? So if you're honest with yourself, like, if you have like anger, jealousy towards someone, you're going to have crazy thoughts toward those people because those emotions are going to drive that stuff. And so how do we manage those emotions well? I'll be honest with something too, like even in my kind of just journey as growing as a leader too, I was at this kind of like church planters like training retreat, and one of the speakers that was there, he came, he just spoke for like 20-30 minutes, and he was so funny, and I was like, oh, it's so true. He's like, all y'all church planters, when y'all came in the room with each other, you know that you all were sizing each other up. Like, how big's your church? How this? What are you like? And all these things. And I sat there and I was like, you know, actually, I kind of did that. I did do that. I do that when I walk on the pickleball court, right? And you anything competitive, you're going to size up your competitor, right? In that way. And so recognizing, like, what is going on in our hearts as we're interacting with other people. So then as this whole thing continues to unfold with Saul and David, it gets worse. I don't know if you read it, but did you notice that God sent a tormenting or an evil spirit to afflict Saul? Like, God sent that evil spirit to afflict Saul. Here's what this really comes down to. When we have sin in our lives, so like if we've done things that are wrong against God, against God's design of how he wants us to live according to what we find in the scriptures, it's like opening up a door to your house and then eventually like a squirrel like makes its way in your home because the door is open. In the same way, the way the Bible depicts how creation is we have this physical world around us, like basically like church camping right now, like church at the park. And then there's also this spiritual realm that is behind everything that we see. So the biblical narrative is that there's Satan and all of his demons who got kicked out of heaven when they rebelled against God. And where did God, it's one of the questions I have for God, like, God, why did you kick them down to the earth? Like, we're all we are, and God's messed up, right? And so there are these evil spirits that are seeking to steal, kill, and destroy from your lives, your families, and all of humanity. And so when we have sin in our lives that we haven't resolved, because what was Saul's sin he didn't resolve? Jealousy, anger, and all these negative emotions. And that opened up a door in his life. And God said, hey, I'm going to send this evil spirit and it's going to work in your life because you have this sin you haven't resolved. And as Meredith and I, we do a lot of discipleship with people, helping them grow to know Jesus more and grow in commitment with him. When people have unresolved sin and like not unconfessed sin, like they've done wrong things, but they've never actually said out loud to God, God, will you forgive me for this, what I've done wrong? Or they've held unforgiveness in their heart, like someone's wronged them and they haven't forgiven that person. So they name the person, they name what happened, how they felt, and they release that person. Those are the two main things that allow evil spirits to access people. So we help people get free from evil spirits quite frequently. And those are the two main things that give Satan access to people's lives. So did you notice that the demon that was sent to afflict Saul, it actually caused him to go crazy? He lost it to the point where, have you ever been so mad you wanted to kill someone? I mean, hopefully not, but if you're like, yeah, I have. The thing is like you start in Genesis and you go through Revelation, it happens all humanity. Like humanity's default is to kill people. That was like one of the first, probably top 10 sins if you read through the biblical narrative, right? And so it drove him crazy. And so you have to ask yourself this question. And if I'm having crazy emotions and I'm having crazy thoughts and I want to do crazy things, what's actually influencing you? What's actually driving you? Could it be an evil spirit that has access to your life because you haven't resolved these things with God in the way God wants you to do it? So Saul tries to kill David twice. If someone tried to kill you one time, would you stick around like longer? But what, and Jeanette had a great observation from the scripture in our DBS earlier. David was operating under the authority that God had placed him under, right? So he was being obedient to God with the crazy authority because God didn't say, hey, you could go yet, but he was sticking it out. So I think David was really good at dancing. I don't know how they dance in the Old Testament. Maybe George can give us an example how they dance. But he was a quick guy, right? He got out of the way of those spears. He moved fast. And he didn't get stuck to the wall. And so when we look at what happened in Saul's heart, he had insecurity. He was insecure because according to him, David was going to take the throne. So David's going to come in. He's going to come in when I'm sleeping. He's going to knife me my jugular. And he's going to throw my body out. And he's going to march around the city. Right? The Bible doesn't say that. But what do you think is going through Saul's head as all these crazy thoughts are going through his head? His unhealthy emotions, his toxic emotions are being left unchecked. Unchecked toxic emotions are gonna create crazy thoughts, crazy scenarios in your head. And as this stuff becomes more toxic, these demonic spirits can gain access to these areas of your lives. So could you imagine a boss who had these crazy thoughts towards you? I mean, maybe at the restaurant you guys worked at and they had some crazy bosses like that, right? So who are these people in your lives that are gonna be like this? And are you gonna be like these people? So remember, with God, the condition of your heart really matters. So the condition of your heart really matters, because it started off with Eliab, who was David's oldest brother. He was rejected as king because of character issues, but he chose David because he was a man after God's own heart. He's willing to do anything that God asked him to do. And so it gets worse for David and for Saul, because when you keep reading, it just says, now everyone loved David. It had like certain categories of people, and now it just says everyone loved David. And so David is getting a lot more favor, and Saul is losing that. And if you're thinking like about David and you're under Saul, like, shouldn't this guy be like a mentor to me? Shouldn't he like want the best for me and care for me and want me to like help build his kingdom to make it better? But sometimes people that God places under aren't those types of people. So there's different types of leaders. I'm going to name four. I want you to name maybe who's the leader over you and what leader you are in your life. So you got the Sauls. These are the people with toxic emotions they haven't resolved. So they got jealousy, anger, insecurities, and they try to destroy your life or make things miserable for you. You got the Davids. You got those who are humble, who are submitted to authority, who are wise, who have strong work ethic, will always do the right thing. Later on in the story, you get the Absalom. So it's the people who rebel, who are divisive, who are disrespectful. And then you got the Samuels, who are the mentors, the encouragers, the supporters. And the reality is that in all of our hearts, we have Sauls, Davids, Absaloms, and Samuels. Like, we're all that person in the journey along the way. And we'll be that for other people. And God will intentionally place those people in our lives. And here's God's purpose. God uses all these different types of leaders to help us grow. So the Saul that wants to destroy your life, could you imagine the amount of growth that's going to take place in you when you're learning how to navigate that individual? Or your mentor, your Samuel, who comes alongside of you and says, hey, you can do this. You got this. Like, I'm praying for you. I'm standing with you. Or the David, like, I'm going to work hard for my leader because that's what God wants me to do in this season, knowing that if I work hard for my leader, God is going to promote me in the leadership that he has for me in the future. So what leader do you want to be for other people? So I had mentioned my first church job, and I had written this down earlier. I didn't share the story, but I remember one of the first times I preached at the church I was at, and people literally began to say, when is Jared going to preach again? When is Jared going to preach again? When is Jared going to preach again? And my first thought was like, oh no, like, what's the lead pastor thinking of all that? And I was just like, I don't want this. And it was interesting that's how it played out. A lot of jealousy and things like that. And that was probably like one of my top 10 wounds in my entire life, is expecting an older leader to be an encourager, a mentor, and someone to invest in me, but they actually ended up destroying a lot of me. But that deepest pain actually produced some of the greatest growth in my life. So when life hits your life, God is actually watching to see how you will respond to it, because he wants to set you up for growth and success. Because God's success in your life doesn't always lead to promotion how we think. So God's promotion in your life can actually look different from what we might think from a worldly perspective. Because as we continue to study David's story, that dude just keeps going down to the descent. It just keeps getting worse and worse for him. But if you flip it the other way, it's actually an ascent. So in the way that God does leadership development or grows us is he actually descends us deeper, and that actually takes us higher with him and what he wants to do. So here's what it comes down to is from this story with David and his life with Saul is how do you handle negative emotions? Because these things can either tank your life or tank the life of other people, or it can actually produce the growth that you have. So let's be real. How do your negative emotions impact your marriage? How do they impact your relationship with your parents? How do they impact relationship with your friends, with your coworkers, with your boss? Any of these relationships that you got, how do these negative emotions impact those relationships? And I'm gonna be honest, like part of me wants to be like, well, I wanna point the finger at the other person and be like, well, they're being a total, like you could fill in the blank with whatever words you want, right? But here's how it works with God. He doesn't care about the other person. He cares about the person that you're looking at in the mirror. Because at the end of the day, we're only responsible for ourselves. How many of y'all ever try to control someone else? How did it go? Doesn't go well, right? You can't control your spouse. You can't control your kids. You can't control your brother, right? You can't control your friends. You can't control anyone. And so what we can do is we can look in the mirror and take extreme ownership for ourselves and do the hard inner work that is required for growth to be produced in us. And so I know some of your stories, I mean, a lot of your stories and stuff, I know some of you are going through some hard things, but the thing is, Jesus wants you to look in the mirror and say, okay, what do you want to do in me? He wants you to grow. And I've often found that in my story, as I've grown, other people change. Because the growth in me has produced different situations where they can't necessarily do those things anymore. They actually have to start making different choices. And it's called setting boundaries, right? It's being healthy. So let's do this. I created this handout that hopefully is helpful. It's called Emotionally Healthy Processing. Y'all have emotions, and these things are never going to go away. They're going to be with you your whole life. Maybe if Justin, if you want to help me pass these out, that'd be super helpful, bro. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through this together. How do you process emotions? Hey, George. All right, we're going to review this real quick. If you're like, man, I'm not like really like totally emotionally in tune with myself, or other people, like this is like a good step. Or if you're like, man, I kind of got this down, but I really need to hone some things in, this could be helpful too. How many of y'all ever just seen someone going crazy? Like doing crazy things, yelling, okay, you don't point at themselves, yeah, you're right. Most likely, they're not self-aware what's going on. Like they are like somewhere else, right? So the first thing to do is like self-awareness. What's going on inside of me? Because when we have strong emotions, we're often in our head or outside of ourselves. But if you can come back into yourself and you're self-aware and recognize what's going on, this is the first step to being grounded and healthy emotionally. The next thing is take a breath. Like literally just pause and just take a deep breath and pay attention to your breathing. Because what this actually does is in your brain, I'm not a brain person in terms of like how all the wiring and science takes place, but basically what it does is it shuts down the crazy part of your brain when you begin to come into your body and take a deep breath and feel it, and it produces a calmness in your body. So you begin to kind of come down. So pay attention to your body. Like right now, how many of you are in your body? I mean, you're literally in your body, but were you already feeling your feet on the ground? Were you feeling your bottom in your seat? Were you feeling the wind in your hair? Right? That's what it means to come into your body, because most likely, majority of people here weren't paying attention to any of those things. But when you come into your body, it helps begin to process healthy emotionally. So here's just a tip for healthy engagement with your emotions to process. The first thing to do is just recognize like what happened. Like, did someone like cut you off? Did someone give you the finger? Did someone say something offensive to you? Like, what happened? And then recognize like, this is how I felt when it happened. Like maybe someone was disrespectful and I felt disrespected, or I felt angry, or I felt slighted. Because when you recognize how you feel, guess what those crazy emotions don't do anymore? They don't drive you. You don't end up being like a Saul. And then the truth about the situation, I don't know, you just be like, maybe they're having a bad day. And if when you think that thought about that person, it just totally brings you down. Maybe they're having the bad day. Maybe they're having the worst day of their life, and they're just taking it out on you because they don't know how to process their emotions in a healthy way. Or the truth is, like, 10 years from now, this is something I actually do all the time. I just tell myself this phrase. I say, 10 years from now. That's all I say. 10 years from now, it will make a difference. If it makes a difference, I should definitely do something about it. 10 years from now, if the person in front of me is driving really slow and is annoying the heck out of me, like me getting all mad, it literally doesn't do anything. So 10 years from now. Or the truth about the situation is like, even though this person is being totally belligerent, Jesus loves them so much that he came and he died for them. So they're valuable to God. So you can see it's all about perspective shifting. What's the truth about these situations? And then recognizing, like, what do you need? Do you need to remove yourself from the situation? Do you need to go outside and take a deep breath? Do you need to talk about, like, what's going on inside yourself? And then pray. Praying is simply this. It's talking with Jesus. You just talk to him about what happened. You talk to him about how you felt. And I'll say this. I think this is helpful for us, is like, people don't make you feel a certain way. People can't make you feel anything. You choose to feel that way based upon how you perceive the situation and how you engage it. Because, like, for example, like Richie and I might experience the same thing, but process it totally differently, right? And it was our perspective on how we chose to engage that situation. So talking with Jesus about what happened and how you felt. And then ask Jesus. He always has the best answers. What do you want me to do? And then with what he tells you to do, do it. Your obedience to Jesus will always lead to God's best for your life. So Jesus will always speak into your situation. So as you reflect on like Saul and David and these crazy emotions going on and crazy people in life, and you might be that crazy person sometimes, right? With how God has been speaking to you today through the scriptures or your Discovery Bible study conversations, it could be about a situation. Take a moment to write down or put it in your phone. Like, how are you going to apply this to your life today? Like, or this week? Like, how are you going to obey Jesus? And then who's the one person you can share with this week what you learned? Like, whatever God has spoken to you, it's probably encouraging. Who can you encourage with what you learned? And if you're like, man, I need to meet with my spouse who isn't here today, or a friend, like, I'm going to take them one of these like little printouts. I'm going to walk them through how to be healthy, right? So that was a little bit facetious. I wouldn't necessarily recommend doing that. But if there's someone you really want to take one of these with and like walk them through it, hey, can I share with you what I learned, or do it with one of your kids or something, or a friend? You can do that too. So take 2 minutes to write down how you're going to apply it to your life, how you're going to obey what you learned today, and then who's one person you can share with this week. And then once you write those down, share that with the person next to you of how you're going to apply or obey this week and who you're going to share with. So if you guys are willing to put in the hard work of like this personal growth, especially in your emotions, you'll become really healthy. So it's worth the hard work, and oftentimes to become healthy is we have to like look inside of like, man, why am I responding or reacting this way? And often it's because of unresolved stuff in our past. But if you're willing to go into your past and forgive people and recognize like, this is what happened, how I felt, and release people, like you become healthier emotionally. And what's powerful is that it affects like all your relationships. So if you're like single and you want to get married one day, it's how you have a healthy marriage, or you're getting married, right? Or you are married. It's how you build it is around your healthy emotions. So I just want to encourage you, like with this like idea of the 1% rule, like you maybe can't like just go hand out. You can't just like do it all perfectly today. But what's the 1% that you can do today to move in that direction? So with me, like I don't try and like do it all at once, but what's the 1% I could do in the moment that moves me in that direction? And if you do 1% 100 times, what do you get? 100%, right? You get that growth, that transformational growth over time, just doing 1% at a time. So expect that you won't do it perfectly. That's just part of being a human being. But what we can do is we keep moving forward and growing and doing it in community together. So let me pray for everyone as we wrap up, and then we'll head out. Jesus, we're grateful this morning that we can gather at the park. Thanks for this beautiful weather, this cool breeze under this tree, and we're grateful to be here. Thanks for our friendships. Thanks that we can gather in your name and have community and read your word and get to know you more. Thank you. The word is full of so much wisdom that it shows us how you want us to live our lives, either by learning from people who like didn't do too well, or people that responded better. And so I pray, Jesus, as we continue to grow, would you grow us more healthy in our emotions and in our thinking and in our relationships? So I pray that you would bring an increase in the health of every person here in the area of their emotions and their thinking, their relationships, and how they choose to respond to situations. I pray that you would give them your love and your spirit and your ability to overcome some of those internal challenges and barriers, and then make the healthy choices to process emotions in the way that you've designed us as human beings to process emotions in a healthy way. I pray for people who need freedom in any area of their internal life, Jesus, that you'd begin to untie that emotional, spiritual, mental straitjacket, and that you would bring the healing and wholeness, spirit, soul, body that you've designed for all of us, Jesus, through what you've done on the cross for us, through your shed blood. So I ask your protection over everybody here, their respective families and loved ones, and Jesus, that you'd prepare the hearts of those that we'll get to share with this week what we've learned about growing healthy emotionally. And if there's any relationships that need to be restored or reconciled, as maybe those have come up, I pray, Jesus, that you would create those spaces for those really good conversations to take place to restore relationships. So, Jesus, thank you that you're going ahead of us this week, and ask that you assign your angels to everyone here for your kingdom and gospel purposes. In your name, Jesus. Amen.